So here in this very first conversation that is all about allowing your body, we want to talk about first and foremost what your body actually is. To begin, at the very beginning, it is your creation, but it is not you. So when you direct your body to place itself in front of a mirror, what you see through your eyes is not you. It is your perception of you, and that will likely be the case your entire life. You may have, from moment to moment, on occasion, sudden awarenesses that you are not that which you see in the mirror. But we're going to go ahead and just assume, with some reminders along the way, that you do believe that what you're looking at through your eyes, through the glass, and back is you. That when your hand is outstretched in front of you and you can see the back of it or the palm of it, that you're assuming that that is you. And so you are this thing that walks around for the most part on two legs, has for the most part two arms, a head with, for the most part, two eyes, two ears, a mouth, and a nose. That you have, for the most part, hair on the top of your head and perhaps in other places. That you move, and you move, for the most part, so most of you believe, and we understand this, among the different objects that are in the physical realm that you inhabit. Of course, you have those characteristics because you created them. We know you don't remember doing that. We know you didn't sit down with a chart and say, I think I'll pick this, this, and this. So you didn't make a logical choice. But the physical manifestation that you see through the glass, that you see in an image taken with a camera, this is the you that you have created, but not the you that you are. It's the manifestational point that it inhabits physical reality. Now, why do you have a body at all? Why do this? Well, you have the senses, and that's what this is all about. You're here for the delight of physical reality. You're here for the magic of it. You're here, as we like to say, for the color orange, for the chocolate, and of course, for the sex. So that's really wonderful. And all of those things require nervous. They all require devices by which to measure. There's no such thing as the color orange from a non-physical perspective. There's the vibration of your awareness of what your eyes see and what your brain registers and then transmits to your mind about what the color orange looks like and feels like to you. So when you see the sun rising or setting, you have a very specific vibrational tone. Now, it's not something that is sitting there neutral that can be observed or measured by others. No one knows what the color orange looks like to you other than you. And no one knows what it feels like to you other than you. And no one has the same reaction, the same response, the same vibrational tone with that color. You're the only one who perceives it the way that you do. Something wonderful happens when the sun rises or the sun sets, and it has nothing to do with the turning of the earth or the sun. It has to do with your perception of it. Your physical body is your primary perceiving device. We've talked before at great length about your seven senses. The first five are obvious: your vision, your hearing, your tasting, your touching, and your smelling. Those have very obvious physical components, and every part of your body is pretty much involved in at least one of those. Lots and lots of complex ways that you interact, particularly with how things taste and smell. Lots of wonderful, delightful ways that you have of hearing something that you enjoy or noticing a cacophony of sound that you don't like. And of course, the delight of vision. But then there's also your skin. And the fact that you have all of these receptors all over your body. Amazing stuff, really. But then there's the sixth sense and what we like to call the seventh sense. The sixth sense is interesting, but to us, it's one of the least interesting things about physical reality, mainly because it's a measurement of the what is, where you're aware of what is happening remotely, we could say. And that's fueled by your seventh sense. The sixth sense is sort of the bridge between the first five, which are present to you, which are immediate and tactile, and the seventh sense, which is contains everything that your physical reality is capable of producing. Anything that exists and anything you can imagine existing is within your seventh sense. It's how you connect the vibrational warehouse where every manifestational idea sits in wait to come to be translated into physical reality, and your seventh sense bridges that gap and makes it real. And then your sixth sense is sort of how you look at the extant nature of it, but it's a snapshot of the past, always of the past. So yes, you can quote unquote read other people's minds, and you can see things remotely, and supposedly you could probably set something on fire if you wanted to, or make it move from a distance. Those are all very interesting things, but they have to do with moving chess pieces around on the chessboard. To us, that's not interesting. It also is remote and it is mental. So it has no real true physical component. And the whole point of having this body, of moving around, is for the physical part. Now, we're not saying you shouldn't explore this. We're just saying to us, it's not that interesting because it doesn't have the oomph that just a little breeze going over your arm has. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but we just want to point out what the seventh sense is. And that is, it's actually your body, like the radio station for your body. But instead of measuring the extant things like the sixth sense does, what it is aware of, and not in a cognitive way, what it is aware of is the fullness of your physical reality. So for example, if you're sitting in a chair in a room and you're looking out a window and you see trees off in the distance, through your seventh sense, you're actually aware of all the little creatures that may or may not be climbing up and down those trees at any given moment. The ants, the termites, whoever they are, whatever they're doing, the butterflies that are flitting around looking for nice little tidbits of pollen and honey, all the different things that are happening. Your seventh sense, to the extent that it exists in physical reality, which is only the things that you can perceive, your seventh sense is aware, but not in a cognitive way, not in a way that you can measure. And it's certainly not mental, like the sixth sense is. But it is aware of what life means to each leaf on every tree, to what the roots of the trees are doing as they're digging down into the soil. But not for analysis purposes. You can use it for that, we suppose. It would take quite a bit of cultivation to do that. And it wouldn't be that helpful because then you'd be sort of dragging that awareness into the sixth sense. But that seventh sense, you're just aware of the totality of your physical reality. So when we say, for example, that your intuition takes everything into consideration, it takes all of the senses, all seven of them into consideration. It has that knowledge, not like a computer. It's just the vastness of your mind that is immediate and present for you in the present moment. Knowing that you're perceiving through your eyes and through your ears and through the tips of your fingers, knowing that your point of perspective at that moment when you follow what feels better is a physical one. So it's always serving you what's exactly right. So that's your body. Your body has these sensory devices. You make all sorts of decisions based upon what you can see, taste, touch, smell, and hear, plus the other things that you're aware of. And these decisions, when they feel better, which would be your natural approach, your organic approach, when these decisions feel better, you're in alignment with yourself and you're just simply riding the wave of the expansion of thought. And that's wonderful. When the decisions feel worse, you're moving away from the truth of who you are and sort of trying to hide yourself from something. Probably not aware of that, probably not necessarily thinking in those terms, but that is in fact what you're doing. What's very interesting to us about that is that if you do this, if you try to hide yourself from yourself, it hurts. So the painful thought isn't true. And it's very clear. Now, what does all of this have to do with allowing your body? Well, to allow your body is to just simply let it be what it is to let it be in its current state of manifestation, knowing that that's temporary. Everything is temporary. In physical terms, everything is temporary. And it's actually even more temporary than you think it is. Most of you tend to believe that, for instance, when we say, oh, well, that's temporary, you're thinking, well, over a period of time, it will stop. When we say it's temporary, we mean it is likely and actually capable of stopping immediately. Of course, if you try, as all of you know, listening to these words, if you try to stop whatever it is that you don't like happening immediately, it gets bogged down. Because what you're doing, of course, is trying to kick it out. And when you try to kick out something, you get more and more opportunities to kick it out. Allowing your body just simply means letting it be what it is and knowing that is wonderful. And this really is the case. This isn't an affirmation. This isn't some sort of assertion. This is, in fact, the truth. That as wonderful as your body is, as amazing as it is, that it's only going to get better and better and better from here. Now, the fullness of your body is not found in what it has accomplished. It's not found in what it is that you think it should be. It's not found in what it is that you think is supposed to happen. The fullness of your body is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place to be. You are in the right place at the right time, in the right way, right here and right now. That's always happening. The fullness of the expression of your body, the fullness of what you're bringing to the table is in fact quite perfect. You're in this place at this time, in this way, and it's good. And as wonderful as this is, it's getting better. But the fullness of your body is simply just the thoughts that you have in place that are relevant to the time and space that you're oriented to, that are about the physical form that you have. We could go into a long, likely unnecessary conversation about how the insides of your body are not nearly as complex as you think they are. If you can't see it with your physical eyes, you can't hear it with your ear, then what's inside of your body doesn't matter too much. Now, this is not a medical proposition, obviously, and we're certainly not talking about anatomy. If your body is cut open, you will find all sorts of complex things going on, all sorts of amazing things that are happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit. But one of the things that we're going to suggest that you do throughout this series of conversations is that you take what you know at face value and stop trying to understand the deeper aspect of things as though there was hidden material absconded into dark places that cannot be easily revealed. Now, you can do that if you want to, particularly as it pertains to your body, because your body has tons of dark places that cannot easily be revealed. You can't see the operation of your physical form without disturbing its functionality. We could go into gory detail about what that's like, but undoubtedly, each of you has enough knowledge to know that, yes, you don't necessarily want to see the internal workings of your body in physical form. Now, to visualize them might be a different thing. But to see them with your own two eyes would not be pleasant at all. And in fact, your body is sort of designed to keep everything together and to make it an unpleasant thing. But the bottom line here is that if you take things at face value, if you look at, for example, a patch of skin, and it looks healthy and wholesome to you, and it looks natural and healthy, and it just looks healthy, 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 take that at face value. Now, many of you will start to sort of put your mind down into the veins and the arteries underneath, and you'll start thinking about the muscles and their capacity, and you'll start worrying about what's inside the bones and how much calcium you might be producing, and whether or not you're getting the right kind of nutrients in your food. And if those thoughts feel better, by all means, go with them. But if they feel worse, what they're essentially telling you is that there's no benefit to that level of inquiry. So simple, so easy. Just pay attention to what feels better. But look on the surface. If the skin to you looks healthy, if the patch of skin to you looks healthy, take that to your advantage. If you stand up and you feel strong in your legs and that feels delicious to you, take that and use it to your advantage, regardless of what may be happening with the arms. Because wherever you put your attention, it is so simple, wherever you put your attention, you're amplifying a thought. And as always happens, the rising tide of any thought that feels better lifts all the boats. So whenever you feel discomforted about one part of your body, look and see where it is that you can see something that is working very well. This doesn't solve anything because you actually don't have any problems, and that's part of what we'll be talking about as well throughout this series. We know you've identified problems. We know you think you have problems. You may be having experiences that you don't like, but we really, really would not call them problems because they aren't. So, having sort of opened up several different cans of worms here, we're going to leave this opening conversation where it is. And we're going to finish our words here today by saying what is always the case, as it particularly applies to your physical form. That is wonderful and amazing and delicious as everything is that you have, it's only going to get better and better and better from here.